This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of Market Talk for 2023. For those of you listening in for the first time, in this programme we typically sum up recent events in financial markets, outline our current investment thinking, and highlight what's on the financial horizon. In this episode, we'll be asking, where did Santia get to at the end of 2022? In this, the year of the rabbit, where next for China's stock market in light of its economy reopening and ahead of New Year celebrations? We also ask, is it possible to have a US recession and near full employment levels? And what was behind Japan's recent move to abandon its yield curve control? So, hosting the podcast is me, Frances Watson, and fresh from celebrating the easing of COVID rules, Ben Bennett, who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, welcome back to Market Talk. How were the holidays?
They were great, actually. Thanks, Frances. I stayed in Hong Kong, so I had the perfect combination of very nice weather, although apparently you've had nice weather in Europe as well, haven't you? But and we also feasted on the typical Marks and Spencer's food. So, that was gorged upon at the local M&S.
Great. So Santa's been pretty generous to you then this year, Ben. But of course, turning to financial markets, we didn't see that Santa rally, did we, in December? He didn't pay his usual visits. But since then, in US equities, a bit of a firmer undertone. I mean, really early days. But and that's despite negative statements from Apple, Tesla and the Fed backing fresh rate rises this year. So talk us through your thoughts.
You're right. So often we get the Santa rally, don't we? Just markets seem to recover into the end of the year. We had that in November, if you remember. That was a decent move, but it sort of fizzled out in December. That's despite the Fed and the ECB and the Bank of England slowing their pace of hikes from 75 to 50. You'd have thought that would have been good. But they spoke, the rhetoric was pretty hawkish. You know, they really want to focus on inflation. We haven't beaten inflation. So actually what happened in December, towards the end of December, we saw yields go up, real yields going up. And we know now from the last year that when yields go up, when real yields go up, that's usually bad for equity markets, bad for credit markets. And that was the case. So December, actually, the S&P 500 was down nearly 6% over the course of December. So not a small move. I mean, in the context of 2022, that doesn't seem too bad. But, that was a pretty bad December, I'd say. You're right, coming into this year, it's been a bit better. The S&P's flattish. We've only had a few days, but actually real yields have started to come down again right at the beginning of this year. Despite we've got some interesting data to talk about that's coming due in the next few days, so that could easily turn around. But so far, so good, I'd say.
And in Europe, and of course, what we've also seen on the downward trend is the big fall in oil and natural gas prices, which can only be good for the European consumer. And I'm guessing that and, benign inflation figures have propelled those markets forward too.
Yeah, so Europe suffered similar sort of soggy end to 2022, but it's definitely been on a better run at the beginning of 2023. So the S&P, I guess, is finding its footing. But Euro stocks is up a decent chunk so far this year. You've mentioned a couple of things that we had German inflation data over the last couple of days ago. That was lower than expected. We've had other bits of Europe as well come in a little bit lower than expected. You mentioned the natural gas fall. That's because of your sunny, balmy weather in Europe. The demand for natural gas.
It's not that funny. It's just mild.
Weather mild, okay. But it'll take what you can get, I guess. But that's been a positive in terms of demand for energy. So you've seen a big drop in natural gas prices, and that will probably feed into low inflation down the line. It's a positive against the cost of living crisis, isn't it? So that combination has led to certainly a big actually falls in yields in Europe, and that's been positive for European credit markets. So that's been a little bit more unambiguously positive start from Europe.
And I'm just interested to know, Ben, your views on Japan, because I do remember that in the outlook that the asset allocation team sent around, one of the areas that they favoured more relative to others was Japan. Well, of course, we had that rather surprise announcement, didn't we, just before Christmas, about it abandoning its yield curve control. What do you make of all of that?
Yeah, so one of the big reasons why we like Japanese equities relative to other parts of the world is to do with the fiscal impulse. Japan announced quite a big fiscal package. So we're hoping that the Japanese economy does pretty well in 2023. But as part of that, you're going to see what everyone else has had, which is potentially higher inflation. Now, Japan has been a country that's kept a lid on yields all the way through last year. They've historically had problems trying to get any sort of inflation, lost decade, et cetera. It's lost multiple decades in Japan now, isn't it? Very low inflation rates. So they've been very reluctant to hike interest rates at all. They've kept their 10-year yield capped at 0.25%. And then, as you say, a couple of weeks ago, they announced quite a surprise move to move that cap up to 0.5%. We know that was coming, to be fair. You know, the yields have been pushing up against that level. The yen has been extremely weak because of this cap on yields. So it's almost like there was a pressure cooker and it eased off. A little bit of the pressure has eased. It hasn't exploded. It's gone up. You know, yields have gone up to 0.5%. I saw a headline actually on Bloomberg today, which is, we're talking on Thursday, aren't we? That the final negative yielding bond has left the Bloomberg index. And that's because, you know, Japanese yields are going up. So I guess that's quite interesting, isn't it? So just about everywhere yields have started to go up, and including in Japan. But like I said, the optimistic outlook for Japan is probably on the growth side. And the Bank of Japan has just got to be quite careful to make sure that that pressure cooker doesn't explode. Because if they allow inflation to go up too much, and they announce something that rattles investors, then you could see some of that volatility come back. What we don't want is more interest rate volatility, currency volatility. We just want it to be, please let 2023 be a little bit more controlled. That would be better for all sorts of asset classes, I think.
Yeah, amen to that, Ben, amen to that. So look, just in terms of extending the current thinking, Ben, I just wanted to bring out the point, as you have mentioned on previous occasions, but let's just bring it out again, that you seem to be more sanguine about the outlook for credit this year than equities. I mean, just briefly remind us why that is.
Yeah, so the outlook, just broadly from a macro perspective for this year, is we're looking at still a tricky beginning of the year. And, you know, we can talk about China as part of that, but, you know, China reopening, there's going to be some uncertainty around that reopening before they get into a better situation second half of the year. We think there's going to be a recession in Europe, in the US, in the first half of the year, probably already in Europe right now, in the UK right now, US maybe second quarter, something like that. So all those things will weigh on activity and ultimately will weigh on profits, we think. So the profit outlook isn't very good for 2023. It might start to look better in the second half of the year, but we think that negative profit impact will have negative implications for equity markets. The S&P 500, we think, for example, could easily fall another 20% from where it is now if those sort of 20 to 25% profit falls come through. So that would be our concern about equity markets. That's not being priced in, we don't think. Credit, when we stress credit for that 20, 25% fall in profits, not an awful lot changes compared to where things are already, you know, credit ratings, credit quality deteriorates a little bit. But when you look at individual companies, they've actually, a lot of relatively bad companies were already downgraded during COVID. So they've already been downgraded by the credit rating agencies, and they've reflected that in the pricing. There isn't really a problem sector within credit this time around. Normally, when there's a crisis, you know, the sovereign debt crisis, yeah, sovereigns are in trouble, the global financial crisis, banks get in trouble. Energy situation in 2015, 2016, all the energy bonds get in trouble. There isn't really a sector that we're particularly worried about. So we think credit overall is relatively well positioned, and we don't think there's a problem sector. So on that basis, yes, spreads will probably widen out as equity markets fall, if we're right about equity markets falling. But that's the place that we'd be looking to pick up value, maybe a bit earlier than we would be picking up the equity markets. So yeah, we're relatively more optimistic about credit over the course of the year than, say, equity.
Okay, that's good to hear. So look, you've alluded to China. Of course, you have your new year coming up, the year of the rabbit, I think it is this year, isn't it? So where are we in terms of growth expectations? I mean, I know in the past analysts have always looked at retail sales, industrial production around this time, haven't they? Because there's an enormous amount of migration and activity. Where are we in terms of China's growth forecast, Ben?
It's been really, really, really interesting over the last few weeks. Obviously, lots of holidays in the rest of the world. And as you say, we're going to be looking forward to the Lunar New Year in China. For the big holidays there. But over this period of time, there's been some significant, I think, significant changes in policy direction across many different things, which I've mentioned. I do have very positive implications for the medium to long term. So by the end of this year, so zero COVID has been fully abandoned. All the restrictions seem to be being lifted at a rapid pace that virtually no one expected. But it's not just that. We've also seen the technology sector regulation, which was very severe for many months now, starting to be alleviated. I see Ant Financial has been able to raise equity, which is an interesting turn of events. I think also foreign policy, when you dig into some of the things that's been happening, some very positive statements out of the foreign ministry in China about the US, and that's not always been the case, has it, recently? And also they've lifted the ban on China importing Australian coal, which had been in place for a couple of years. So, you know, some positive geopolitical shifts there. So, I mean, it's still early days, I guess, but there has been quite a dramatic turn in various things that we were worried were holding China back last year, which were leading to very weak markets, weak sentiment. And that has, just this early period of the lifting of some of those issues, has led to a significant increase in some markets. The Hang Seng has been incredibly strong since October, for example. And the optimists around us are hoping that can continue. You know, I do think it'll probably be not a smooth ride for the next few weeks, because there is still quite a lot of uncertainty about policy implication. But beyond that, it's looking a lot better for China than it has been for a good while now.
Yeah, it does seem to be, doesn't it? So look, this week we've got, it's been, I suppose, a bit of a quieter week this week as people return from the holidays, but we have got the all important US payrolls. I've just seen a few comments, Ben, about people saying, is it even possible to have a US recession when employment levels are this high? I know we've talked about it in the past, but I mean, the question, I'm still asking the question. I'm still not convinced of the answer.
I think the answer is to do with lags. It's things lag. You know, the economy can be slowing down, and yet companies are reluctant to fire people. Partly because the things that are slowing down in the economy is the housing sector, is the manufacturing sector. It doesn't actually employ a huge number of people. What does employ people, particularly in the US, is the service sector, and that's still pretty strong. So you can see the economy rolling over, and yet you could probably see the employment situation remaining quite tight. And then, and only when the employment sector starts to roll over, will you start to see wage growth start to roll over as well. And that's what the Fed and the ECB and the Bank of England, that's what they're focusing on. So these things act with a lag. I would say that's a negative, because you're probably going to keep monetary policy tighter for longer until you are confident that you're going to see that final aspect, wage growth, falling over. But by the time you've done that, we could have had quite a nasty recession in the meantime.
We've got to hope that.
And central bankers know exactly, they know all this. So they will be trying to predict and trying to get ahead of this, so that they're going to try and manage the situation. Maybe they'll be not quite as aggressive. They'll be probably taking their foot off the brakes a little bit earlier than perhaps they would have otherwise, just because they'll be expecting this fall in wages. But for now, they're talking a very aggressive game. And for now, they're telling everyone, look, we're going to keep our eyes on the inflation numbers, and we're going to continue to keep monetary policy tight for as long as it needs. And that's the reason why it could be a little bit of a soggy start of the year, I suspect.
And of course, we have those US inflation numbers next week, I think, don't we?
Yep. So US CPI, the next set of data is next week. Yeah, we've got this rotation. I mean, we're going to look at unemployment data, we're looking at inflation data. It seems to happen all the time. But yes, some big numbers in the next few days.
Okay, well, look, talking of numbers, that brings me very nicely onto my last question, which is, what is your first number then of 2023, Ben, and why?
We've sort of spoken about it before. I'm the number 17, because it's 17 days until Chinese New Year. And it's funny, sort of living here and looking at markets here, as I mentioned earlier, you don't really have necessarily the Christmas holiday. Everyone's still active during Christmas, but things really do slow down Chinese New Year. And the more and more influential that China becomes in the global economy, the more important that is. So what I think we're going to see and what we are seeing right now is a flurry of activity at the beginning of January, because everyone knows it's going to shut down again. Well, China shuts down and large parts of the world shut down for Chinese New Year. So we're going to get a flurry of activity, which is interesting in itself, that's being brought forward. And then we've got the uncertainty around what happens when Chinese New Year kicks in, when people, workers in China, move from the big cities where there's a significant amount of COVID, and they go back to the rural centres, and they see how that filters through to the rest of China and how we see infections go through. So I do think the beginning of this year is incredibly interesting for multiple reasons. So that's just 17 days, it feels, from one holiday to the other, I think it's going to be pretty crucial for markets.
Anyway, well, look, enjoy the celebrations. I know we'll talk soon at the end of the month, but enjoy fresh from new celebrations and entering into more. I mean, that's why you're smiling, I guess, so much. Ben, great to talk to you as always. Thanks for joining Market Talk, and thank you to all our listeners for listening. Thank you.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording, and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties, and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2022. Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, the license corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.